after 4 o'clock here on this giant Cowboy Thursday night. Maybe a Yankee clincher. I have a massive headache because late last night I tried to go through every Mets scenario for Monday's doubleheader, and there's a million of them. But Tiki, Sean said something to me that is, I think, insane. And I'm curious your opinion on this.
Let's hear it.
We are working, it's not official yet, we're, you know, putting all the plans together for potentially having a big WFAN watch party for this doubleheader.
Right.
Kind of like a live, on-air, having fun watch party. And so I talked about how it'd be great for everybody to come.
Right.
I was like, I'd love for Boomer to come, for Gio to come. And Sean very flippantly said, Boomer won't even watch the game. And I was very taken back by that. And I was like, how the hell could you say that? Boomer's a Met fan. And Sean then claimed, if it's nice outside, he's golfing. There is no way you can honestly think Boomer Esiason is going to play golf over watching the Mets play for their playoff lives.
I love Boomer. Have you listened to the morning show? When the weather's nice, he has a 1 p.m. tee time. If the weather's nice Monday, he will absolutely be golfing. Now,
Sean,
game two back at the clubhouse with a little beer, I'm sure.
Hold on. Golfing on a beautiful day is not the same as golfing on a beautiful day when the Mets are playing for their lives.
Dude,
that's
when
has that example been used where you can show that Boomer wouldn't watch the Met game?
Yeah, when there has been an alternative like this.
I'm sure he's golfed during plenty of day baseball games this year. And it's not a knock on Boomer.
Well, day baseball games this year is very different than the final game of the year, bro.
Boomer will have every idea what's going on. It's a doubleheader, and that will be his out. I will get to the later game or watch the end from the clubhouse. I guarantee Boomer is playing golf during the game, one of the Met game on Monday. Guaranteed.
You think he's listening to it?
Maybe. Maybe he has it pulling around the golf cart, but he is not giving up golf to watch the Mets on Monday.
You're dead wrong. And
I don't think
you're giving him enough credit for being an actual Met fan, which he is. Like, he watches every game, bro.
But the question is, do you think he'd come to our watch party?
I don't know if he'd come to our watch party, but he'd watch the game.
Do you think Boomer's a bigger Met fan or a bigger fan of playing golf?
Okay, let me answer it this way. Mm. I think Joe Beningo loves playing golf.
I would say golf.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think Joe Beningo loves playing golf. I think that if the Mets are playing a playoff game, which is essentially Monday, Joe's not going to play golf.
Is Joe
Boomer? We're going
to
ask him.
Coming
I don't know.
Watch party?
He may. Everybody may.
Right.
But my point is, I think that's crazy to think that Boomer, I mean, you haven't listened to him. He's a Met fan. He's going to skip the biggest game of the year to play golf, which you can do any day of the week. That's ridiculous.
I've texted Gio to get an honest answer from him.
Hmm.
I said, do you think Boomer's going to pick playing golf over watching
the Mets? He's going to be insulted by the question.
No, he won't.
Of course he will.
Did you invite Gio to come to our watch
party? We haven't invited anyone officially
because we haven't officially gotten it done.
That's kind of a jerk move.
No, we're inviting
him. We're having a watch party. Sorry you're not invited.
No.
But you think a Boomer would want to come?
No.
What kind of crap is that?
Once the party is official, everybody's invited, of course. I don't know if everybody's going to take us up on it, but the invite will go to all. But I think in fact, I think G's answer to you is going to be like, what the kind of question is that?
Right.
Like, I don't think that's insulting. I think that's Boomer likes living that life, and there's nothing wrong with
Sean,
that.
Sean, you're mistaking playing golf on a Wednesday afternoon in July with playing golf on a day in which the season is determined.
I'm telling you, he plays those 18 holes. He's back in the clubhouse for the end of the game, and that's what he's going to say, and he'll watch the whole second game. There's no way he's giving it up for the first pitch at 1 o'clock.
It could be the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Last games of the season.
Well, and Evan knows this. A good sportsman could DVR and be late to the game.
Nah, you can't DVR this one.
Oh, so now you're making the rules for when you can DVR this game.
No, I'm giving you my rules. Like, people could do whatever the hell they want, but for a game like this, especially the doubleheader, and we don't know what the scenario is going to be, because trust me, I've gone over these. There are scenarios where they could lose the first game, still get another shot. They could lose the first game and be eliminated. They could win the first game and still need to play. Like, there's a million. They may have to play a game that doesn't matter. Like, that's certainly on the table for them.
Because the Braves need it.
Yeah. Correct.
And we're a month away from getting very cold for golf, too. But yeah, I know that. If you're a big golfer, you start getting that, like, end-of-season anxiety.
There is no way.
True. Like, this could be one of my last times.
Yeah. Stop it. There is no way Boomer or Beningo, or Giannotti, if you want to throw him in there. I know he loves golf now, too. There's no way they're playing golf on game 161 and game 162, if it matters. If it doesn't matter, who cares? I mean, obviously. Well, I barely watch it. But if it matters, they're all locked in.
Okay. I will agree to disagree.
Dude, people have been emailing me scenarios for Monday.
Really?
And some of them handwritten. Kind of freaks me out.
Handwritten, like, on a piece of paper?
On a chalkboard.
On a chalkboard?
Yeah. In crayon, because that's not a serial killer.
What? Oh, man. And the funny part is, Like, I'm trying to come up with the scenarios. They are so freaking complicated on when it would be needed to play, how many wins are needed.
And this is including, like, everybody?
Well, because Arizona's an impact on this. So the only way they're playing the doubleheader Monday is if the Mets and the Braves and the Diamondbacks need games to determine if they're making the playoffs. They're not going to play for seeding. That's right. Definitely not happening. But, like, right now, I'll give you a very simple example because I can't go through every scenario. It's boring and it's complicated. If everything stayed the same, so the Mets, the Diamondbacks, and the Braves all do what they've been doing, which is they've all win two out of three, mm-hmm. or they all sweep. Yeah. So everything remains the same. The scenario at hand would be the Arizona Diamondbacks make the playoffs. They're in. Actually, no, they're not in. Hold on a second. Let me figure this out. Okay, if everything stays the same, the Mets will play a doubleheader in which if they win the first game, they're in.
Yeah.
Okay? It's over. And the Diamondbacks are in. It's over. But if the Mets lose the first game, then it would come down to a Met-Brave game in which the loser would get eliminated and the Diamondbacks would make the playoffs. Oh, does that make sense, what I just said?
Yeah, but that's only if over the next three, everybody holds form.
Correct. For the Mets to clinch so that Monday, even if it's played, is not for a playoff spot, the Mets would either have to gain a game on Arizona this weekend or gain two games on Atlanta. But that those are the basic scenarios, and they're complicated.
Yeah.
I got a massive headache.
What? Nothing. I did get a Boomer answer, so when you're ready with the Mets scenarios, I can give you that.
No, I'm done with the Mets scenarios. So basically, you as Gio, would yep. Boomer play golf or watch the Mets season come down to one game?
All right, so interpret this how you will. This is the answer. Depends on the course and with you and how long the commitment has been for. It could be a big charity outing he's planned for a while, which happens a lot on Monday.
Well, hold on. That's different,
that's
bro.
A good point, though.
But that's also...
That's fair, because everybody does it. I mean, yes. that's when courses are closed, so
yeah.
they give it to the charity.
Yeah, okay, that's a very different scenario, though. Like,
You wouldn't shame him. You'd be disappointed he's not coming to our watch party or watching the Mets play.
I can't.
But you're not shaming him.
I can't make. If you make a commitment to a charity event, like, yeah. I can't even shame him. How could you shame him? But that's not what you said.
Yeah.
And you didn't frame it that way. That would be very different. I'm saying he just on his own decides, okay. I'm playing golf rather than watch the Mets game.
And this was the second text I got from Gio. But I do think he chooses golf over the game if he has a free day.
No way.
Sent right here.
I know it's tough to doubt G because he's worked with him for so long. So he obviously knows Boomer better than I do. How the hell do I really even know?
Oh, wait, he said I don't think he chooses golf over the game.
Oh, so I'm right. Thank you. All right.
Right. If he has a commitment to a charity outing, he's going to fulfill that commitment.
Far different.
And he'll probably watch the Met game on his phone or listen to it like Tiki suggested, which is, that's fine.
I think that's far different. Like, you're not getting out of a charity event because you're like, that's something I probably.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It would do because I'm a horrible human, but
here's what
he's not doing that.
Here's what we can all agree on. Boomer is not coming to our watch party.
Well, okay.
He's not coming.
He's not going to stay in the city.
He's not going to watch a Met game with you, Evan.
I did get a message.
If I was working on the morning show, I wouldn't come to our watch party.
That's fair. Right. I did get a message from the boss, and the boss said if Boomer's coming.
Boss or
yeah, the architect boss. That if Boomer's coming, he's really got to upgrade the food that he was going to supply. Which is a very fair point. Now, let's get back to your phone calls. A lot on the table today. Obviously, the Mets aren't playing today or tomorrow. They've got the weird scenarios coming up over the weekend. Tiki Barber got very, very heated with me and others that we think the Houston Astros are a far worse matchup for the New York Yankees, and you should fear them more than a potential matchup with the Baltimore Orioles. And obviously, a lot of Giants-Cowboys talk as we get set for Thursday night football game you will hear right here on WFAN. Let's go to Lorenzo in Keyport. What's up, Lorenzo?
Evan? Tiki, my love for you is boundless and endless, as always.
Appreciate it.
Preface by saying I still have to ask a favor, but that's down the road. Evan,
yeah.
What do you think? What are you thinking for Monday? Because you're going to have quesadillas, wings, gin and tonics, and your belly can't handle anything on the single worst day to watch a Met game versus the worst team to have to watch them again.
Yeah.
And you're going to put this on TV?
Yeah.
I mean, not since Mike Francesa falling asleep could this be legendary.
Yeah, this is very scary. In fact, I started thinking about the other stressed games I've watched, and I would say the most stressed I've been watching a game in recent history, okay, like the last 5 years, is clearly Game 7 against the Bucks, the Kevin Durant game,
on
the line.
Yeah.
I was so nervous about that game.
Should have went your way, but whatever.
We're not talking about the game. We're not going to have a discussion about the game. I was so nervous at that game, and I announced this on the air on Friday, and people joined me. I met people at a bar inside Barclays Center, and we just all had Maker's Mark. And I got myself a little toasty before the game.
Before.
Because I was so insanely nervous about what was going to happen.
And did it make your viewing experience more pleasurable?
No, I was just sick. I was sick no matter what. Nothing works.
So it didn't help.
It didn't work.
Maybe
it didn't help.
Smoke some weed.
You think I should smoke some weed?
Yeah.
He was smoking a doobie. I know you guys hate AI songs that I've created in the past, but there is one AI song you could play in this moment. And that was the first AI song I ever created about gummies. Do you remember one?
Yes, I do remember.
That was one of my
Because you were debating whether to try to gummy before or something or other.
Do you think I should take a gummy before our watch party live here on WFAN at 2 o'clock on Monday and the Mets play for their season?
If it's down, it depends. If the Mets have to win to make it, then yes.
Well, no, of course. Like, if they're already in.
If it's
just. No, I don't.
The Braves and the Braves are, I don't know, bludgeoning them when they don't care. No, you don't
if
need
the game
won't even watch it then.
It won't be the watch party's canceled.
Yes.
If it's just the Mets playing out the string to determine if the Braves make the playoffs, it's canceled. It's only if their season's on the line. I should get a gummy.
Could you do the show
with a gummy?
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out. I honestly don't know. I mean, it could get ugly. I don't know.
It could be amazing.
Kenny is calling from Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Kenny.
My man, I just heard you talking about gummies. If you're going to take something, take a gummy with a Xanax. That cures all your woes.
I think you're trying to kill me. I heard that that's bad advice, so I hear what you're trying to do, Kenny.
Or what I do is I dust off the interlocking NY straitjacket that I have, and I sit there like a nervous wreck. So I'm not pessimistic, nervous Yankee fan that you were looking for. So I look at today as if they don't win today, I'm going to be freaking out a little bit. I will be freaking out. And I am much more afraid of the Astros. There is no demon exercise until we beat them in the playoffs. I love you, Tiki, but you're way off on this one. I need to see them beat the Astros in games that matter, and then maybe some of those demons will be exercised.
The Yankees needed one win. They need one win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully Garrett Cole delivers. They need one win to clinch the division. One win.
Yeah.
And they have not done it yet.
They have not done that yet.
Why?
Because
crumbling under pressure?
You think that's what it is, though?
Maybe the Orioles just kind of have their number? If Garrett Cole gets knocked around, gets the crooked number thrown up on him early, how can you not believe what Sean and I are saying? Because that would mean they rise to the occasion when it matters most for them.
I would give the Orioles a lot of credit.
Because trust me, for the Orioles, this is playoff.
Well, they've clinched the playoffs, Bob. Do they think in division? They need to win every game the rest of the season.
Of course. And currently, they are on a track to do so.
Yeah.
So
I can't get past, and this is where it's kind of different. I can't get past that I just think the Orioles are really flawed. And I know everybody's flawed in their own way, but I think they're more so flawed.
But think
and
about
they've
how
been
we,
mediocre
but,
for a long time.
Think about how we've talked about the Braves.
They're good. The Braves are good, though.
I know, but all the injuries and the just the flaws that they've had.
Yeah, but they still have a murder rotation. They still have Chris Sale, Max Fried, and Spencer Schwellenbach. Like, they have a lockdown closer in Raisel Iglesias. They have a superstar having an MVP in Marcell Ozuna. This is the problem. The Braves are legitimately good. It's not just the boogeyman with me, Teague. A part of it is, I admit, part of it's the boogeyman. But the other part is, I think the Braves are really good. I don't think the Orioles are really good. I don't know what happened because they were off to a great start. It felt like they were becoming the Astros. I remember you said that on the air, and a lot of people said that. Oh, they're the new Astros. They are 33-38 in their last 71 games.
Yeah, they've been particularly horrible in September.
Yeah.
Especially once you got to the second week of September.
And they weren't good in August. Mm-hmm. They were a sub-500 team then. Like, they haven't been a great team. So I give them credit. They've won back-to-back games against the Yankees, and there are certainly flaws about the Yankees that are concerning. Look, I think the Dominguez-Verdugo thing is becoming messy. What?
You set us right up with our breaking news.
Oh, we got breaking news?
Okay. Tonight, Jason Dominguez will start in left field. We will give that full lineup, brought to you by Jersey Mike's, in a little bit. Aaron Boone has spoke about this. He said, quote, "I'm trying to let things declare themselves in the final week, and it is, quote, a tough call each night between Dominguez and Alex Verdugo."
He's right. He's right. And here's why he's right, but it's not a defense of him or Brian Cashman. What I was going to say before you even said that quote is nobody is distinguishing themselves. Nobody. And both guys have their flaws. Dominguez had a nice little road trip offensively. He does not look good defensively. We all just have to admit that.
Yep.
Alex Verdugo had a mini, tiny, mincy hot streak. His defense has been subpar for the most part, and he's been a below average left fielder all around, far below average all year long. And I think the Yankees screwed up, Teague, by not calling Dominguez up earlier and letting the declaration battle occur for a longer period of time.
It's a flaw that hopefully doesn't come back to bite them, because here we are four days away from figuring out what's going to happen postseason-wise, and you don't have a clue. You're not figuring it out in 4 days. It's just, it's not, nothing, unless, I don't know, Dominguez goes, he goes 10 for 16.
But even still, too,
right?
His defense
looks amazing.
His defense is concerning.
It is, but at least if he's hitting, you know, raking,
sure,
it feels like, okay, at least we have the bat.
Right.
But that's not going to happen in four games.
There's one more quote regarding that.
Go ahead.
On Boone. Aaron Boone says defense will be a big factor when deciding the Yankees' left field plans in the postseason. He thinks Dominguez has the ability to be good out there, but Boone added Verdugo has been tremendous.
Well,
there.
Okay, so Boone's right and wrong in my opinion. Alex Verdugo has not been tremendous this year. If you actually believe defensive metrics or your eyes, I would say, I'll give you the eye response first before I get to metrics.
Right.
Eyes-wise, I think he's been okay in left field. He's had his bad moments. Mm-hmm. He's had some decent moments. He has not been as good as advertised, in my opinion. Okay?
Well, as good as he started the season.
As good as he started the season, and as good as he was sold as, hey, when you watch him every day, he's an above-average defensive left fielder. I have not seen that. I don't think any Yankee fan has seen that. Jason Dominguez does not look good in left field.
No.
Now, it's a very small sample size.
All right. Well, that's the problem.
Of course, that's the problem with all this.
Mm-hmm.
They gave themselves such a small sample size. But if he's going to make the decision based on defense, it's going to be Verdugo. Sorry.
Then if he's making the decision on defense, it should be Grisham.
Yankees trying to wrap up the AL East, and the Giants trying to beat the Cowboys at MetLife Stadium with fans in the stands for the first time since the Obama administration. But it is Thursday, a little bit after 4:30, which means it's time to have a conversation. Bad Tiki is brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com and come get some. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of The Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki! Great to have you back.
Hey, Evan, the feeling is not mutual. I hate you. I hate doing this. Let's get this over with. I'm a very busy Bad Tiki. I have a lot of calls to make. Bad Tiki is making it rain.
Well, I mean, come on, Bad Tiki. Chill out a little bit. All right, we won't take too much of your time. This is an enormous game. The Cowboys coming into town. How do you see this playing out over at MetLife?
Great question, regular Tiki. You are looking extra handsome today, by the way. It's no secret the Dallas Cowboys own the New York Giants. The sadness and pain of the Giant fan runs so deep, even the human bratwurst, Sean Marash, is afraid to go to the game tonight. You're a disgrace, Marash. Fraud Giants fan. Shame on you. When the going gets tough, Shawnee gets to hiding under his bed with all his snacks.
I'm not going to take that from you, Bad Tiki. Plus, you didn't even give a prediction.
Excellent question, Sean. Everyone knows the Cowboys have defense that is weak against the run, and we haven't seen much pressure from their overhyped pass rush. The Giants have improved week after week this season. Slowly but surely, they are making progress, moving the ball on the ground and through the air. They've been finding the end zone consistently since Malik Nabers got here. With that said, the Giants will score as many points as you have hairs on your light bulb-shaped head. The Cowboys win 77-0.
Come on, Bad Tiki. You can't actually believe that. You just said the Giants are improving every week. How could it actually be worse than last season?
Let me explain something, Fat Ginger Spice. You listen up, two Giants fans. The Cowboys are your daddy. No different than the Atlanta Braves absolutely dominating the hopes and dreams of the saddest fans in all of sports. The New York Mets fans. Oh, poor babies. Are you sad it's raining outside? Whoa! Cry before Bad Tiki.
I mean, come on, Bad Tiki. We're not talking about the Mets. What does that have to do with the Mets?
Connect the dots. Regular Tiki. Does it make any sense how this whole Mets rainout has been handled in Atlanta? You're smart enough to figure out this was a concerted effort of sabotage. And oh boy, did it work. Bad Tiki is a criminal genius.
Bad Tiki, are you hinting that you had something to do with the Mets doubleheader on Monday?
Evan, let's just say Bad Tiki knows some people. Those people owed Bad Tiki some favors. Those favors may or may not have involved massive influence, bribery, and corruption. Bad Tiki pulls the strings. Bad Tiki is the puppet master. Dance puppets.
I mean, but Bad Tiki, why would you go through all of that effort to postpone the Mets game down in Atlanta?
I appreciate the question, regular Tiki, but I didn't contact baseball. Along with my over 20,000 Tikis, I built a weather manipulation machine. Bad Tiki now controls the weather. Make it rain, Bad Tiki. Wash out the Mets in the ATL, all to crush the spirit of the Little Red Weasel, Evan Roberts.
Oh,
are you sad, Evan?
Bad Tiki, that's diabolical. Why would you even do this to me? I thought we were friends, bro.
Don't take it personal, Evan. It's just business. I hate you. I'm looking forward to watching you squirm for the entirety of the show on Monday. I'm counting the seconds until I get to see your soul leave your body when it's all over. Merry Christmas, Bad Tiki. Ho, 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 ho.
I'm sorry, Bad Tiki. I need a minute, man.
Oh, come on, Evan. It could be worse. You could be Mayor Adams. I really put the screws to that guy. Imagine not knowing Bad Tiki infiltrated the Turkish government just to trick him into accepting illegal foreign money so I can take him down once and for all. Bad Tiki runs Turkey. Don't get too excited, Marash. I'm talking about Turkey the country, not the leg of the bird you slobber on while your sweaty cheeks waddle around Disney World. Gobble. Gobble, Mayor Adams.
But Bad Tiki, I don't understand. Why would you conspire with the Turkish government to interfere with American politics? It doesn't make any sense.
Everyone knows Bad Tiki has only had one dream since the day I was born with my full head of gorgeous hair, and that's to be the mayor of New York City. If my plan unfolds correctly, Bad Tiki will be the mayor of this great city. I'll have those hot peanuts on every corner. I'll replace every historical monument and statue with a bronze Bad Tiki. And have you heard of freak-off parties? Night one at Gracie Mansion. Everyone is invited to the Mayor Bad Tiki freak-off party, except Tommy Lugauer, because I want the party to be fun. This party will be so lit. Bad Tiki, party machine. Party with me, my little puppets. Bad Tiki is your king. Party king, king Bad Tiki.
All right, Bad Tiki, this is a lot to process. We gotta go. I honestly don't even know what to say at this point.
My fellow New Yorkers, thanks for having me, and thanks for giving me the platform to take over New York City and eventually America. I have to go now. More governments to infiltrate and policy to write. WFAN is a historic and iconic New York City radio station. And I pledge to save it from you freaks. Come get some. Bad Tiki,
all right.
Out.
That was easily the weirdest Bad Tiki of all time.
Did we even get a conversation about the Cowboys game?
Yeah, you're going to lose 77-0.
And right. I want turkey bad.
Right. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being. He's not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Boy, I hope the FBI doesn't call Bad Tiki.
Right.
Who's that? Everything he just said. By the way, we've talked a lot about Giants Cowboys. You can rewind on the Odyssey app, certainly the beginning of this show. Dak Prescott, a guy that, let me phrase it this way, you don't love him. Dak Prescott. Is that a fair, not as a person, I'm talking about as a quarterback. You don't love him.
Yeah, he just doesn't win some of these games that he should.
But he always beats the New York Giants.
Always beats the New York
Giants.
And
has put up some very impressive numbers against the New York Giants. Yeah. Is the why simply the Giants have been bad against them? Or is there another reason why Dak, for whatever reason, has owned the Giants since his rookie season?
Are you suggesting something?
No, it's just a genuine question.
No, I think
like some teams.
Honestly, I think the Giants have just been bad. Like if you want to brass tacks this thing, it's the Giants haven't been good
since
Dak has been the starting quarterback. I mean, what is it? Two playoff seasons since Dak became, or is it even?
No, it's just the one.
It's just one.
It's just
that was last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was just the one 2 years ago, and they didn't beat him 2 years ago.
Right. They got blown out by them.
Right.
So it's not even, I don't know. I think part of it is the talent level, because I know this Cowboys team feels as if it's not as talented as previous teams, but they're still more talented than the Giants on paper. And if you go back over the last 7, 8 years, whatever it is, they're just better.
But you know where, and this is weird to even say because it's so foreign to say this about the Giants and Cowboys, and it is 3 weeks. So you're trying to couch it with, we need to see more. This is the first time I could say this in a decade. I think the Giants have a better offensive line.
They definitely do.
When was the last time you could say that about the Giants and the Cowboys?
10 years ago.
Yeah, literally. Maybe. It's been a long time, man.
Because they're young, and they have some issues up
front. And the Cowboys obviously got older.
And they don't have the ability to rely on the running game. Let's forget that Dak made his hay early on, built his confidence, built this person who he is, because he just turned around and handed the ball off to Zeke Elliott, and he led the league in rushing, and it just made things easier. But as you evolve and advance and grow up as a quarterback, it necessarily becomes on you. You become one of the highest paid players in the league, and technically I think he is the highest paid player in the league right now. You got to prove it, right? The coordinator and the head coach are trusting you to be perfect and be on point. Because you're making $60 million a year, and he hasn't always handled it great. Now, he has against the Giants, unfortunately, but I think if you're a Giant fan trying to find optimism, it's that Dak can be had this year because the offensive line isn't as good.
I'll give you optimism. They never sack him. They will tonight. They never get to him.
Yeah.
They will tonight.
Right.
If you go back the last couple of meetings that they've had with Dak Prescott, they haven't come close to him. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've sacked Dak Prescott in like the last four meetings.
Yeah.
You got to go back multiple years. And I think when you look at the issues that the boys have on their line, but also the Giant pass rush, which I think we've seen kind of signs over the last few weeks, I think it's going to be the strength of their defense. It needs to be, especially with the injuries in the secondary. Tonight's the night where they can rattle Dak, which they never do.
Yeah, I mean, this is where Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator, has to be creative. And we saw it last week against Deshaun Watson. You just didn't know where the pressure was coming from. It was a lot of five-man, some of six-man rushes. I love Micah McFadden's aggressiveness in the middle there. So you kind of have to do that. Even if it exposes you a little bit and you're going to give up some plays, make him uncomfortable. That's the best way to disrupt any quarterback, especially a guy who has an offensive line in front of him that's young. Two rookies at least starting, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. BB and Guyton, the left tackle and the guard.
Man, that's youth.
Right.
Especially one of the most important positions.
The right tackle hasn't been good. He's not a rookie, but he hasn't been good.
This is why this is the Kayvon game. This is the Brian Burns game. This is where what I think could eventually be the three-headed monster, they got a monster tonight.
Right.
This is their night. And they've got to do it against this Dallas team, and it changes the perception of this football team if they're able to accomplish it.
Yeah, a couple practice squad elevations are in place. The Cowboys are calling up Carl Lawson today to help with their pass rush.
Are they really?
Yes, and they're so the Cowboys also thin at corner. We mentioned Carson being out. They are elevating Amani Amarie, which Giant fans will remember was terrible for them last year. So the Cowboys are banged up in their secondary as well.
So here's what's happening. early in the show, start of the show with talking Giants, Cowboys. I have a lot of optimism about tonight's game. Tiki feels good about this game. And Sean is such a dark cloud, he won't even go to the game because he's scared. He doesn't want to be made fun of by Cowboy fans. I thought Bad Tiki did a very good job of explaining that. Thank you, Bad Tiki. It was the one thing he said I agreed with. As the day goes on, I could see his wheels working. The optimism is starting to build. He's got his little Giants hat on. He's got his weird Santa Claus, you know, red giant jersey that
should
be
Century Red.
Yeah, it should be.
Or in week one, it was Century Dead.
It should become extinct. I mean, what are we doing here with
this?
It's
actually very nice. This is nicer than the Jets.
Can you tell the stop yourself? Do you want to tell the audience what Tiki said to you as soon as you walked in?
Why are you wearing that?
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a giant legend. He looked at you and said, "Why are you wearing that?" Remember what Victor Cruz said about those jerseys?
Said they were hideous.
Quote, "They're hideous." These are legends.
Okay.
Of the team you root for.
And he's a fashion guy.
Do I look like a fashion guy? I'm wearing Giants high socks.
Just because you don't care about the fashion means you can just not care.
I spent good money on this.
Well, that's that's what happened to you. He spent there's two things going on here. He spent good money on
this.
And
it represents this season. So that means he's optimistic on this specific season.
Well, are you
despite
now?
Despite what he's saying to us.
Are you more optimistic about this game at 4:45 than you were at 2 o'clock?
More.
Yeah.
More optimistic.
Who convinced you? Did I convince you or Tiki?
No, I think what happened is what happens to me every time I watch a Giant game. In the hours and minutes that lead to a game, I start to get excited.
Do you want to come with me? I got two tickets.
No.
55-yard line.
Nope.
13 rows off the field.
Nope.
All the foods included.
Don't care.
This guy's unbelievable.
Only pay for that LIR or parking till 8.
Hey, come on now.
They're not going to give you a ticket.
Oh, have you seen these people at the Babylon train station? They're disgraceful.
Have your wife go throw a tag in the thing.
You know what? That's a good idea. Honey, I'm not going to be on until 1 a.m. And also, please make sure with the two kids, you drag them to go pay for more parking.
The problem with the Century Red jersey, too, Teak, is that after this season is over, it's dead to him.
Yeah.
He will never wear, and he's wearing Dexter Lawrence.
Right.
Hell of a Giant. He will never wear that jersey for two reasons. A, it's ugly. And B, they're never going to wear it again.
Nope.
And he doesn't like it. So this is a one-year thing, and then it's gone.
So why are you forcing yourself? It's like eating a vegetable that you don't like.
I wouldn't know what that's like.
The difference, though, is, Teak, when you eat a vegetable you don't like, it's good for you. This isn't good for him.
No, I actually genuinely like the way these jerseys look. I didn't think I did. I liked it, and I'll always wear it because Dexter Lawrence is going to be a historic Giant.
No. So what you did is, we've all done this, by the way, you bought a house. Right? You spent a lot of money, took out that mortgage, man. And you're about 5 days living into that house, and you're like, oh my God, it'd be the worst decision ever. But you can't admit that because you just bought a house. Like, you can't have that conversation with your wife, and you certainly don't even admit it to yourself. So you just say, this is great. Like, I give you an example in my life. When I go to my first Brooklyn Nets game this season, I'm going to realize I made a horrible decision re-upping my season tickets.
Why?
I'm going to look around. I'm going to say, what am I doing? But then I'll rationalize.
The Nets still in the league.
No, this was good. I get to see basketball. I get to see the young players that won't be on the team in 3 years. Like, this is great. And you rationalize an investment that you made that you know deep down sucks. That's your Red Century jersey.
Mm. I like it. You don't. I live with it. You don't.
Okay. Mm. Tiki knows I'm right?
Let's go, Giants.
Right. Yeah, thank you. Let's go to Justin in Dobbs Ferry. Good afternoon, Justin.
What's up, guys? Dable going into this game is 4-9-1 against the division with three of those wins coming from Washington. I mean, you can't keep on losing in the division, you know, and they already have one loss to Washington this year.
Yeah.
So this is like, you know, he's got to get right. What are they going to go, you know, 4-13 in one against or 5-13-1 in 3 years? That doesn't cut it.
They got to do better against the division. Like, I'm not, it's not going to get him fired necessarily. But what they've done inside the division, not just in the Daboll era, but right. The eras that have come by over the last half a decade, it's not acceptable. And I think that when you look at the state of Dallas right now, and you look at the way the Giants are playing, they're trending well. The quarterback's played a lot better the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
This is the best the offensive line has looked in years. This is their moment, at least for now, for 1 week, to reverse that trend. And it is important because they never beat them. And they never beat division rivals. He's right.
It's funny because I think despite if they win, they go 2-2. It's more of the perception about the team. Because the Cowboys, let's face it, they've become a national team over the last, I mean, they have always been a national team, but you know what I mean, a nationally viable team for a playoff spot. So if you beat a team that's perennially a nationally thought of a playoff team, it kind of elevates you. It just it puts you in that category.
I think it,
even if it doesn't necessarily mean that much.
Yeah, look, it nationally, sure, I guess it'll elevate the Giants, but I think even here in this town, Giant fans are going to feel elevated.
Oh, of course.
Because they're so used to getting beat by the Dallas Cowboys to actually beat them
100%
on their home field, and it doesn't matter how wounded the boys are right now. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I think we go a long way to the perception of this team. Now, does that mean they're going to go to Seattle next week? Are they going to beat the Bengals on Sunday Night Football, who I think will eventually turn their season around? Not necessarily. But it is important to beat a division rival. That's why someone made this point earlier in the show, and I just disagree with it, which is I just want to see them compete tonight. Mm. I want to see them be in the game. They got blown out last year twice by Dallas. It's more than that.
Yeah.
They got to beat them. They got to beat a division rival. They haven't done it enough. And they are in position to do that tonight. I really think they are.
I mean, I hope they are. This is one of those moments where you don't know what to expect, but I think for the first time in a while, you kind of feel positive about this matchup.
You know what I got from your response?
What's
You're
that?
Going the other way. Sean's getting more confident. You're starting to be like, I hope so.
I don't want to talk myself into thinking this team is going to win. They need to prove that they can do it.
Well, they went to Cleveland last week and won 21-15.
Cleveland is so flawed right now.
Is Dallas?
They have been.
Well, that's the same thing.
But it's also a division game. There's a familiarity. It's just, I don't know. I don't like setting an expectation and then having it not be fulfilled.
I know what happened.
What's that?
You became me. Everything you just said was an eloquent version of me.
Which is,
I don't want to get burned again. We always lose
it's
to the Cowboys.
It's basically
what you said.
I don't know.
You're me.
I don't know what to expect. And so I don't want to start saying, they're winning definitely. No, I think they are, but I can't say it. I just haven't seen them be consistent enough.
I rubbed off on him.
No, you didn't.
Wow. I think I did.
It's just the reality of the Giants right now.
Okay. You're going to be in that suite, like cursing the Giants out. You're really going to turn into me.
The problem is once I'm at a game, I become an analyst.
Oh, is that what you do?
It's just natural for me.
Are you in a suite or are you in seats tonight?
No, I'm in a suite.
Oh, you're in a suite.
I'm visiting friends from IBM and UPS.
Are you going to?
This is Tiki Barber.
Are you watching the game or do you got to schmooze?
No, I'll be watching both. A little bit of both.
You could do a little bit of both.
I'm just telling you, even if I am schmoozing,
yeah,
I turn into an analyst.
So you start breaking down like the run schemes and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, I see things.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
You're like the psychic, like that kid who can see the future, where you're like telling us stuff that most of us don't see. Sean thinks he's an X's and O's guy. He's not. But you tell us stuff that we don't see. And we're like, what?
You just don't know to look for it.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Yeah, that's fine. I just want to know, Tiki, do you have a ticket to the game, or you just kind of knock on the door at MetLife and go, I'm Tiki, I'm going up to this section?
No, I have a ticket.
You do? You know,
I wonder what would happen if I didn't have one.
You're the Giants' all-time leading rusher.
Oh, you're kidding.
I think what you do is you go up there, and they ask you for your ticket, and you point to your face and say, this is my ticket.
Or no, you point to the 21 Tiki Barber in the Ring of Honor.
Right? That's right.
That's me.
And say, let me in, man. Will in South Orange. Hey, Will. Yo, Will.
Will, what's up?
William Jefferson. Hello, Will in South Orange. All right, Will is not there. Dylan's on Long Island. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Want to talk to the Giants. Question for you guys. I was just wondering about Devin Singletary. Obviously, you've read a lot about like Dallas run D and everything.
Yep.
How can he control the game?
It's not about him controlling the game. It's about the play calls to get him in position to be successful. I mean, it's as simple as that. Running the football is not complicated in the NFL. Most offense these days is either sprinting to the edge or you're running duos, which are two double teams in the middle. And you find a weakness, you attack it. You just have to get positive yardage on it because you can't be second and third and long. That gets impossible. And so it's funny because I think people want to hear these comprehensive breakdowns of football, but football is not complicated. It's a very simple sport, and it's execution that matters.
Do you think they are going, because I think the common belief is because Dallas has struggled historically against the run the first 2 weeks of the season, that, the Giants are just going to run after them.
I mean,
do you think that's going to be their game plan, or could you see them taking some shots early down the field?
If they have young corners, you're going to take shots.
Yeah.
Right? If there's a compromise at some point, you're going to take shots. And, you know, that used to be Daniel Jones' MO. Now, the challenge with it was that Daniel Jones was turning the ball over a ton, either holding on to it too long his first and second years, or throwing interceptions. And so he's gotten away from it. There's an interesting article on ESPN talking about, like, this this changing of Daniel Jones. And it happened because he was a turnover machine. And so by necessity, he couldn't be that Danny Dimes, I'm going to sling it down the field, you know, damn the coverage that I'm looking at. And so he needs a little bit of that, but he also can't turn the football over.
No.
And so I think you attack where the weaknesses are, but you take advantage of what they're not good at, and that's stopping the run. Part of that is because they have edges that want to rush the quarterback. And as I said earlier, you have edges that just want to get after the quarterback, run at them.
Mm.
Right? They're going to naturally create a void because they're trying to get to the quarterback.
More on Giants Cowboys, more of your calls, 888-808-1019. Sean's got a Cinco de Five in just a few minutes, a controversial top five list, or maybe today won't be controversial. Mm. Who knows? Plus, we haven't said the name Hassan Reddick in a while, but maybe we're going to start to say his name a lot coming up soon. Do we have evidence that the Jets and Hassan Reddick are about to make a deal? We'll get to it coming up.